So, you know, on Christmas Eve, Father Bill preached to you, and he pretty much covered all of Epiphany, I believe, during that service. And so, you know, I'm a little confused, but I think I'm up to Palm Sunday now. I'm supposed to preach. So here we go. Palm Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. I am confused. I'm going to stick to Christmas, I think. I think that'd be wonderful. You know, I actually wish the Christmas season were longer. We were talking about this. And, you know, I understand that 12 days is a good, perfect biblical number of completeness and unity, but I just love the season and would like to continue on with this. Love the decorations, of course. And it's just a joyous season. I'd love to see it last longer. Fortunately, Easter is long, and that's a joyous season as well, too. But this just sometimes seems to go so fast. And, of course, this year, it's great because we get both one Christmas and two Christmas coming up next week, too. So don't throw out your candles yet, okay? All right. But seriously, folks, as I pondered through this sermon, you know, I thought of the wonderful sermons you've heard recently that did deal with incarnation. And the difficulty of Christmas sometimes is that incarnation is very well handled during this season. Every song that I've listened to recently, you know, explains incarnation to us. If you don't know what incarnation is, just listen to CCM, Contemporary Christian Music, Christmas Music, and you'll get every explanation and version of it. Some wonderful things there. But again, they do it right. So you all understand what incarnation is. I mean, what more can be said about it, right? I know you all know what incarnation is. You know, maybe that's why it's only 12 days. No, I'm just kidding. I could go on and on about it all day. And in fact, I will. All right. So I'll put something new to you. It's about representation. Representation. Well, you know what? That's a nice, big, intelligent word. And it sounds like, you know, something that we could talk about. And so I am going to talk about it. I want to talk about some examples of representation to you. Okay. You all remember from your American history, the American colonies in the 1700s, and they were somewhat bent out of shape about a couple of things, and there was an important slogan that came out during that time. Remember what the slogan was? No taxation without representation, right? Exactly. And this was one of the key gripes or beefs that King George had, or that Americans had with King George back during those times, is that they were subjects of the king, but their interests were not given any consideration before the king or his government. They were thousands of miles across the ocean, and the British government really didn't care. And look what happened, a rebellion, a revolution, because of lack of representation. Okay. We'll move forward a little bit. In 2003, a coalition provincial authority was established, made up of the occupying military leaders in Baghdad, primarily by Americans. And this was a military government. And of course, as you can imagine, one of the greatest criticisms that Iraqis had about all this is that Iraqis were not representing Iraqis. Instead, foreigners were making decisions about their daily lives, and that did not make them happy. Very similar to the American colonies, you see. Continuing on, Israel's West Bank, okay? This is a military occupation that has been in place since 1967 and continues to this day, with a military government that controls the territory the Palestinians live in, claiming it for themselves, of course. I'm not going to go into the rights and wrongs of the West Bank. But you see, Palestinians didn't feel that they were adequately represented. They were being represented by Israelis. And did they care about them? That was, you know, one of their problems. And this led to the formation of that outlaw organization named the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization. but it was about lack of representation once again. Now, I'll give you another example, and this one just flows right in with all the others. I'm going to talk to you about my dog, Rupert. And Rupert, who's out in the car right now, I understand Rupert up to a point. You know, he's 5 years old now. We've known him. We all have this routine that we go through. You know, there's this military dictatorship that the dogs have over us. No, I'm kidding. But I know what Rupert's motivations are. I know what he wants, and I know when he wants it because he's like a clock. And I know about his level of intelligence. He's a very smart dog, incredibly smart. But deep down, I really don't know him. You see, there are things about him that mystify us. You know, why does he love to roll in poop? You know, I just don't understand that. Why does he run off barking in the middle of the night? Why is he afraid of thunder? Now, I understand some of you all may understand that one. But the problem is, I can't completely understand him because I'm not a dog. Don't say anything. I just can't get that far because we are different species with different genes, not blue genes. Okay. You know, this is what I'm telling you is a very similar story to what Paul Harvey would have on the radio. You remember the Christmas story that he had about the birds and the birds. You know, this fellow on Christmas Eve didn't want anything to do with Christmas or going to church. But then these birds were out in the snow and they were dying and he wanted to help them and he tried taking them all these places to try and save them, but they didn't understand. And he just kept on going with this and it became more and more frustrating to him until, you know, he finally realized that he would have to become a bird in order to save them. And it was in that moment that he understood the meaning of incarnation. And so I ask you now, who represents you to God? Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about before Jesus came. Okay, you see, this season of Christmas is the pivotal time in history where before Jesus, there was a certain level of representation, whereas after Jesus, it changed dramatically and radically. If you were a Jew, back before the time of Jesus, the person who represented you was the high priest. You all know him. But you know, he was just a man. He was a person like you, a fallible person, who indeed may have represented his own interest over yours. I mean, this is borne out in the things that we know about Caiaphas, the high priest at the time of Jesus' arrest. You know, Caiaphas's priority, and it's pretty clearly spelled out in the Gospels, his priorities were keeping the Jews happy, keeping the Romans happy, keeping himself happy, and in power, which kept him happy, you see. So that's not a real great representation overall. So when Jesus came, when God became incarnate, he fully became one of us, our species. And from that day on, we knew that God knows exactly what it feels like to struggle with temptation, struggle with anxiety, with fear, lust, pride. Not that he succumbed to those things, you understand, but he understands what we go through day after day in our human lives. You see, it's about representation. Now, because of the incarnation, a human now sits at the right hand of God, the Father. Hallelujah. A human is on the throne. We are represented. Hallelujah. You know, we should spread palms on the road before him. He is our king. Palm Sunday there. See, gotcha. No longer does a foreign power enslave us. No longer do our cares and concerns fall on deaf ears. No longer are we represented by someone who doesn't understand us or doesn't care about us. See, God has given us the greatest gift, the greatest expression of love that we could ever receive by becoming one of us. This is the extravagant love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You also, you see, are incarnational people. Now you say, well, we're resurrection people because we are part of Church of the Resurrection. Those incarnational people are over in Black Mountain. No, we're all incarnational people. You carry God around with you. You represent sinners to God and God to sinners. You understand what people are going through out there. You understand those trials, those difficulties, those struggles of life. You understand their temptations, their desires. You understand people's failures, their lust, their pride, their greed. You understand their violence. See, you are excellent representatives for Jesus because you understand. In John 1, chapter 4, I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You carry his extravagant love around on you and in you. It's the light of all mankind he's talking about. And so in this Christmas, I want you to remember that as you deal with people out in the world, you understand God, and that makes you unique. And you can share that with people. But you also understand sinners, people. You can relate to them. You know their struggles, their motivations, and their priorities. I won't say how you know, but you know that I know that you know. So be compassionate with those that you meet this holiday season and all through your lives. You are representing someone you love out there. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So now, represent that. Amen.